Hey, welcome to Meme Lord Monday. I'm your host, Matt Matias, your Meme Lord for the Lord. And on this show, I like to talk to people who grew up in the church about things that I like to think about and things I like to laugh about. So if that's you, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. I'm going to be doing the show about my deconstruction. A lot of you guys have been asking me to talk about this. So I deconstructed in 2009. For those of you who don't know what that means, deconstruct your faith basically just means to back away from your faith and either completely deny it or take time to look at every piece and part of your faith and analyze whether or not you want to stick with it or not. And I'm going to talk about when I lost my faith and when I started to really view my faith and consider whether or not I wanted to continue being a Christian or not. And so there's a lot that goes into this, and you guys said you wanted to hear it, so here it is. But before I get started, I just want to let you know that I run this Meme Lord Monday podcast. It's kind of my little pet project, and it's special to me because I'm able to give my opinions and be more myself on this. But I also have another huge platform called Memes for Jesus, where I make silly Christian memes. And we just launched some amazing merch with Christian rapper Reverend KB. If you don't know who that is, look up KB on Spotify. He's got some sick rhymes, yo. He's got amazing beats, and the dude can rap. Like, I really love the guy. He's a real man of God. He's a solid dude. And I'm working with his company, Native Supply, and they are powering our website. They're providing all the things that make a really great merch company. And so our merch is super high quality now, and it's going to get to you a lot faster than we were able to get it to you before. And just, it's really, really high quality stuff. So I want to extend a discount to all of my listeners. If you're a listener of Meme Lord Monday, I'm going to give you a smooth 5% off. I wish I could give you more, but we're going to start off with 5% to all my listeners of Meme Lord Monday. And that merch supports me and it supports everything that I do. So I'm wearing a shirt right now. I'm not doing this episode on video, but one of my favorite new items is the Bless This Food to Our Bodies merch. It has a huge, nasty, yucky burger on it. Actually, it looks delicious. And it says, Bless This Food to Our Bodies. So, obviously, it's meant to be the amazing spell that all Christians cast on their unhealthy food before they eat it. So, check it out. I got some other funny ones. I've got the Warning, Homeschooled, Christian, and Socially Unaware. As a homeschooled person myself, I can totally relate. And then we redesign some of our old designs that people liked before. There's Jesus Took Naps, Be Like Jesus. And we got the new shirt called the Out of Context Bible Verse. I hope you guys really enjoy it. Enjoy the 5% off. Just go to memesforjesus.com and use promo code Monday and you will get 5% off your order. I appreciate your support. I appreciate you listening. Anyways, back to my story. So I don't want to sit here and just tell my whole stinking life story. Because that bores me. I don't like listening to people's life story, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to give you as much of the juicy details of what happened in my life, which led me to deconstruct my faith. And then on another episode, I'll talk about how I reconstructed my faith and the steps I took and where I'm at now. So I'll start off by saying I was born into a Christian home. My mom was Christian. My dad was not. My mom was a very devout Pentecostal Christian. I remember being 6 years old and my mom giving me a little book where it says, sign your name here, you know, to be entered into the kingdom of heaven or something like that. And so I wrote my name and my mom was like, yay, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Oh, shoot. I forgot about that. I forgot she said, yay, you're saved. Congratulations. Oh, man. I know my mom listened to this, so I'm sorry. But yeah, I do remember that. That was a vivid memory. And I don't have a lot of vivid memories from my childhood, but I remember being like, whoa, that's cool. And that was it. But it was basically like a little book talking about being saved. And it was very simple for little kids. So it was very cute. And then I attended a Church of God church until I was like 12 or something like that. And I think around between like 12 and 14, we started attending a Spanish Pentecostal church because I'm Spanish. I'm Puerto Rican and Dominican. And if you don't know, Spanish Pentecostal churches, crazy. Yeah, they are the most crazy environments. like anyone who's grown up in a church that's kind of been known to be very like high church, very, you know, stand and give confession, repeat after me. Like anybody who's had that type of experience of church, if you'd walk into a Spanish Pentecostal church, you will leave with your jaw wide open. They talk about Pentecostals, like the caricature of them swinging from the chandeliers. Like, bro, literally. Like, literally. Yeah, we went there, and I just remember that experience just being, like, very interesting. Like, when I attended a Church of God church growing up, there was some elements of, like, strong Pentecostalism and charismaticness where, you know, we'd have a revival guy come in, and then he'd pray for people, and they'd start screaming and crying, and they'd be falling out on the floor. And, you know, that was, like, times 10 in the Spanish Pentecostal church. Like, every single service, they'd have an altar call at the end of service. The head deacon would have a bottle of water. Like, I kid you not, there was one time I remember him having a bottle of water, and like, he had the cap on it, and he was, like, visualizing pouring water on people. Like, he's like, receive the Holy Spirit, receive. And he was, like, pouring it on people at the altar. And then one time, he legit opened up the bottle of water and dumped it on a dude. And he started choking. He's like, oh, oh, oh. It was like getting all over him. This is a true story. And this was like common stuff in the church that I went to. People falling on the ground, convulsing, shaking, screaming in tongues. This was commonplace. This was my formative years. I grew up in this environment. And then when my dad was like 14, I mean, my dad was 14. When I was 14, my dad, somebody approached him, and like I think the story is, if I remember correctly, there was like a prophetess that came to my grandmother's house, because my grandmother was also Pentecostal, and they had a prophetess over her house. She came over there, and my dad was not a Christian, and then this prophetess walked over to my dad and said something very ominous to him, and was like, you have a darkness in your future, or something like that, or something that was in the essence of, somebody's going to come and get you in the future if you don't give your life to God right now. It was basically like a threat, and that shook my dad, and I think he walked away, and then in the middle of the night, he was like crying, and then he gave his life to the Lord. And, you know, personally, I'm kind of skeptical of words from the Lord, but I know God did what he had to do to kind of get my dad to change his life around. And so God used that situation. I was 14 years old. My mom's like, your dad's saved now. And I was like, oh, cool. And it was kind of a big deal. Kind of wasn't for me. It was like really, really, really weird. Anyway, so we were going to this Pentecostal church. It's a lot of weird stuff. On top of that, I was homeschooled, did the Bob Jones curriculum, which was weirdly enough, like it's the most anti-Pentecostal thing ever, but it's like one of the bigger homeschool curriculums. I did a Becca book, Saxon math, whatever. I did it. Your boy is a certified homeschooled Christian. And I graduated like from middle school to college, homeschooled. Like your boy is the real deal. I am a pedigree Christian. And so I went to an Assemblies of God college. I got my bachelor's degree in youth ministry and Bible. I got a minor in Bible. And then right after that, I got a youth pastor position in a church in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. And I just didn't feel like I really, like the whole while, I didn't really like feel like I believed what I was preaching, or I wasn't truly convinced through and through of what I believed. It wasn't real to me. And it felt very weird to be a Christian. I felt very awkward and unsure about what I believed. So just a lot of inner feelings, like beneath the surface, invalidating what I was being taught or what I was teaching. You know, like I felt like as if I had to be something that I didn't want to be. I didn't truly want to be what I imagine a Christian was supposed to be. Because my image of a Christian was all warped and distorted by Pentecostalism, to be honest with you, or the Pentecostalism that I had seen up to that point. And that's not to say that my experience at my Christian college was all bad. Like, I got some really great friends from there. Like, the seeds of theology were planted in my brain and how to think. I had some amazing professors there. Towards the end of my college career, I guess, I was in a relationship. And it was like my second relationship ever. She broke my heart. And it completely broke me, honestly. And that relationship wasn't healthy for either of us. You know, we both did foolish things. And I did really stupid things as a result of the breakup. And I was just in a lot of turmoil. I started drinking, started smoking marijuana. Yeah. Oh, no. And when I say started drinking, I mean, like, I started drinking alcohol for the fact that it could get me drunk and inebriate me. And same thing with the marijuana. I just wanted to numb whatever sensations I was going through because of how bad this had broken me. And then right after that, my dad, he is one of, I think, 7 brothers and 1 sister. And they are tight. Like, Hispanic families are, we're close. We are tight. We're family. And our family, it's a big, big deal. And we're all pretty close. One of my uncles during this time, like, even though I was going through all this stuff, I was doing it on the low. And I was still trying to be a youth pastor because, like, that was the only thing I had work experience with. Like, that was my degree. So I was like, I got to be a youth pastor because that's all I know. So I'm getting drunk and high on the weekends, and I'm looking for a youth ministry position. So my uncle was a pastor, and he had connections with other churches, and I was visiting him, and he was trying to help me find a ministry position. While I was there, my uncle died of a heart attack. The internet is more accessible than it's ever been, and with that has come an absolute pandemic of people addicted to pornography. This addiction statistically is affecting Christians and non-Christians alike. It's a problem. Porn is a human problem, but Covenant Eyes provides a human solution. Covenant Eyes helps you and the ones you love live porn-free through transformative accountability relationships. With Covenant Eyes, you choose someone that you know and trust to walk with you as your ally and to hold you accountable for your online behavior. Me and my friends use it, and I've seen it firsthand break the bonds of addiction in people's lives. This stuff works. So basically what you do is you download the Covenant Eyes app, it tracks the activity on your devices, and your friend, who's your ally, gets a victory app which shares your activity feed right to their phone. You and your ally will be able to celebrate victories together and have honest and caring conversations about your successes, setbacks, and triggers. Nothing works better than this. If you struggle with pornography addiction online and you're ready to see some victory in your life, download Covenant Eyes and use promo code MONDAY for 30 days free. Try it out. I've gotten so many success stories from this app, and that's why I'm so happy that they've chosen to sponsor Meme Lord Monday. Again, that's Covenant Eyes. Use the link in the show notes of this episode and use promo code MONDAY for 30 days free. Victory over addiction has never been easier. While I was in his house, and he was my godfather also. Like, he's very, very close to me. And that was earth shattering for me. And I was already in a really bad place. And it was very shortly after that I was like, God, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want to be in ministry. I don't care about anything that you've shown me thus far. I just, you know, I was broken. I was completely just at the bottom of the barrel. And this was like, you know, this might not be earth-shattering events for other people, but for me at the time, this was really huge for me. And it just caused me to abandon my faith entirely. And like, it wasn't just for some reason. Like, if I really think about it, there's a reason why I deconstructed at this point. These events in my life, like, I don't want you to listen to this and be like, oh, he had a bad breakup and his uncle died and that's why he lost. Like, it's not because of that. It's because of everything else before that. That was all in the back of my mind, and I was not finding any reprieve or peace from this massive pain I was going through my belief system. And what I did have from my belief system wasn't good. And I'll just list a couple of the things that I had problems with my faith. Like, there was just a ton of legalism. You know, you can't watch this, you can't eat that. There's demons, you know, lurking behind every corner. Like, a lot of boogeymanning and unnecessary burdens that, you know, as I'll mention in the next podcast about my reconstruction, once I read the Bible, like so much of it just wasn't there. Had a lot of rapture anxiety, you know, a lot of just anxiety in general. The rapture could happen any minute. I can't control my thoughts or like my sexual urges. I felt trapped, always on the brink of losing my salvation at any stinking moment because of all these things that were internal to me or external to me and out of my control. I have a better perspective on that now about things that are not in my control, but my anxiety was to the maximum at all times because of the belief system that I had grown up with from the church about how flimsy my faith was. I didn't have a confidence in my salvation or my faith. You know, I didn't have a future. I didn't feel like I didn't want to find a girl that was within these circles because I just didn't like my Christian circles. It was just like a lot of lies from the church. You know, if you do X, you will receive Y from God. And it just did not seem true. And I know this isn't everybody's experience, but like in the extreme Pentecostalism where I came from, very, very prosperity gospel centered. You know, if you sow this, you know, seed into the ministry, like they call, you know, it's such an awkward terminology. It's money. If you give these people money, God will bless you. It's basically the equation. But I just didn't see that. It just was, you know, and God didn't seem real or discernible in that equation. There was a lot of performative expectations, like you need to talk this way. You need to act this way. You need to be, you know, quote unquote, on fire for God, crying, super emotional and passionate at all times. And if you're not, you're just, you know, you're lukewarm, bro. You're not like, I see a lot of this today too. In a lot of TikTok Christians that are very, very hyper-spiritual and hyper-pious, you know, I'm seeing like a resurgence of this, and it makes me cringe. Just so much cringe. Also, a huge one for me was the anti-intellectualism of the church. This was huge. I'm a very inquisitive person, and I like to ask a lot of questions about why things are the way they are. That's just like my default. And like, well, why? And I've always been like that since I was a little kid. So they talk about kids asking why. I was like, why? Just about everything. And that was very frowned upon by a lot of ministry leaders in the circles that I grew up in. And I want to point that out because, like I said, this was my experience. I'm not speaking about the church in general, although this is still an element that I see in the church. The anti-intellectualism where there's an unwillingness to question beliefs or receive questions. You know, there was even like, I worked at a church where one of the people in leadership said, "We don't explain the gospel. We proclaim the gospel." Yeah, like, wow. You know, that just seems so dishonest to me. You know, if we're claiming the corner on truth, what are we doing talking about we don't need to even explain what we believe? That seems so weak. And like, I get that the heart of that, like if I'm going to charitably interpret that, they're trying to say that we shouldn't completely depend on our explanation and rationalizations of God because God is, you know, he's not completely comprehensible. But, you know, and the same token, you're dismissing what is comprehensible of God and what is explainable of God and what is rational of God and how we can love God with our minds. And that's huge for me. This is honestly another thing I see in Christianity today. Like, there's so many dishonest pastors that don't want to, they're intellectually lazy and they're also unwilling to say, "I don't know." And so you see a lot of Christians, you know, online, in their interactions are unwilling to say when they are unsure about a topic because, you know, they got the corner on truth. So you have to have an answer for everything. And the Bible, you know, they use verses like have an answer for what you believe. And there's nothing wrong with saying you don't have an answer. You know, you're not an eternal being at the moment that has all omniscience. Like, do your due diligence. Sorry, my phone's going off. Do your due diligence and research stuff if you don't know about it. That's where I'm at. So anyways, this, as you can tell, this is a very, very triggering topic for me. You know, a lot of tribalism too. I grew up thinking a lot of Catholics are just demons. They're, you know, this X people group is going to hell. Everybody else is going to hell except for, you know, our tribe is what I grew up with, that like that mentality. That church over there, they don't preach the real gospel. They, you know, lots of churches do this. And it just seems, it's dumb. And one of the, that's a lot of the reasons. These are all a lot, the main reasons why I didn't want anything to do with the faith. Because of all of this goofy stuff. I actually hadn't received a lot of church abuse. I guess like it was more like spiritual abuse because of the poor teaching that I was given. And just like the really bad interactions that I saw from Christians to non-Christians. So that's the type of abuse that I grew up in. And that's why I left the faith entirely. So these things that happened in my life were just a culmination of all these deep hurts and issues that I had with Christianity that came to the surface because my life was just, it was unstable. And I was in a very, very dark place because I had taken, you know, multiple huge losses in a row. So yeah, I just wanted to clarify that. Like this is why I did. Everything else is kind of like the story around it that everyone else saw. But deep within my mind, this was my rationalization as to why I walked away from the faith. And then after that, I started doing even stupider things. I was just, you know, engaging in relationships that I should not have. I'm talking Christianese right now because like I don't necessarily feel like it helps to get into those details. But I just started doing extremely dumb things. And those dumb things ended up hurting me. And it ended up hurting people close to me and around me. I realized that there was like a deep need inside of me that I needed something. So I tried different things. I tried different beliefs. Like I tried to smoke weed and do meditation. I did that so much, honestly, at a certain point. I just wanted to be normal again. I remember being so out of it. And so, as the kids say, zooted, that I was like, I just want to be normal again. I don't want to be high all the time. And I started having panic attacks and I started to feel even emptier. I remember it feeling like I was at the bottom of a dark basement covered by heavy, dark blankets and just feeling as if there was no hope because everything I had known to be hopeful, I just completely forsaken it. And all there was really emptiness and unforgiveness. One of the pastors that my uncle had me interview with was a family friend named Pastor Munyon. I've mentioned him on the podcast before. After my uncle died, he was one who did the funeral. He reached out to me and he would not leave me alone. And little did I realize that God was going to use Pastor Munyon and his wife and his family to radically change the way I viewed the church. I just want to say thank you so much for those of you who asked to hear this story, and I hope it helps some of you listening. If you want to support this show, you can do so for as little as $5 a month by becoming a Supercast supporter, and that'll just help me keep this show going. My supporter program now is mostly engineered for people who are interested in supporting this show or people who are interested in getting content creation coaching. I'm offering my coaching services through my supporter structure. I'm actually helping a handful of businesses right now and influencers on how to craft content that is engaging and also helps meet their goals. And I've done this for businesses. I have a ton of experience with this. I've worked with businesses for years and I have a lot of experience creating content on social media. I understand the algorithm, I understand what helps. So if you're interested in that, there's higher tiers that enable for group coaching and one-on-one coaching. If you have any questions about that, feel free to email me as well, memelordmonday@gmail.com, or you can DM me on my Instagram page, memelordmonday. I will read every single one of the messages you guys send me. I love interacting with you guys, so please don't be afraid to send me a message, and I'll do what I can to help. Anyways, like I said, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure to be on the lookout for part 2 of this story where I talk about my reconstruction back into the faith. Thanks for listening, guys.